This is the world we live in. We live in a vulnerable world. And one of the ways we deal with it is we numb vulnerability. And I think there's evidence, and it's not the only reason this evidence exists, but I think that it's a huge cause. We are the most in debt, obese, addicted, and medicated adult cohort in U.S. history.
Brené Brown, the American researcher and author, speaking in 2011 in what has become one of the most viewed TED Talks of all time, The Power of Vulnerability. If you've not watched it, take 20 minutes to view it this week. Brené Brown is attempting to describe the way the world around us has learned to respond to suffering and pain and difficulty. The temptation is to numb all of this negative emotion, to overlay it, to disguise it, through shopping or social media or food or alcohol or other addictive behaviours. We numb. In normal times, that can set in motion slow but destructive cycles of behaviour in our lives. We keep afloat, but only just. But in times of great crisis and difficulty, it's not enough to numb. The pain all around us overwhelms our defences. Something much deeper is needed. By the rivers of Babylon, 2,500 years ago, there was a prophet who called himself or herself a voice crying in the wilderness, a prophet without a name. The call of this prophet is to bring comfort to the people of Israel, in exile far from home. The songs of the prophet have been passed down to us in 15 beautiful chapters of the book of Isaiah, chapters 40 to 55. The prophet is called to bring comfort. That call to comfort gives us the opening line of the first song, comfort ye, my people. But this was comfort with purpose. The prophet's aim and the Lord's aim is not simply to soothe the exiles and dry their tears, though the songs are songs of great tenderness and hope. The people of God are downcast and defeated by 3 generations of exile. So the prophet's vision is much bigger. It is to regather the people of God, to help them stand again, first of all, to give them strength and purpose, to remind them of who they are, and then to put courage and fight and faith and joy back into their hearts. God is leading the exiles home again to Jerusalem, to rebuild the nation and the temple. That will soon become possible, for the first time in almost 70 years. But will they choose to go? How many will make the journey? To make that great return, they will need all of their strength again. The exiles must therefore be recalled to God and to their faith, to finding their strength and hope, if they're to stand and return and rebuild. These exiles have spent 2 generations in Babylon. They have experienced hardship, but also all kinds of pleasures and temptations. All around them are the temples of the gods of Babylon, the idols, projections of human ideas and power. The worship of the idols is designed exactly to numb the exiles, to help them to forget the living God and their home, to seduce them into merging with the population around them. If they had done so, if these songs had never been sung, the entire history of the world would have been so very different. So our prophet sings to call the exiles back, to remind them of a better way. The songs are not telling the exiles anything new. This is recall, resourcing, remembering, not new information. And we're recalled first to the beauty and majesty of God in creation. Chapter 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills inner balance. Beautiful words and images. The God of Israel is not one God among many, as it must have seemed walking through the city of Babylon. The God of Israel is God Almighty, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the only God. The whole beauty and order and majesty of creation tells us that God has wisdom and skill and power beyond our comprehension. Verses 18 and 19. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A workman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. When we pursue our idols, we are pursuing gods made with human hands, limited by our own imagination and skill, who cannot lead us home. True purpose and meaning and strength and healing do not lie in this direction, sings the voice. For there is an older, deeper story. You've heard it in your youth. Your deepest being longs for this song to be true. Listen to the call. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. God the Creator is real and strong and gentle and calling out to God's people to stand and rebuild. And how will God's people respond? Will we hide away, turn inwards, full of our fear and misery and resentment? Verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Again, the prophet recalls us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. This time the prophet uses the personal name of God, the name revealed to Moses, the name his people will not pronounce. The God of Israel is the one true Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The exiles may feel small and forgotten. They may be worn down by life's hardships and distracted by the temptations around them. They may be burdened by their own weakness and the sin of their nation. They may feel they have fallen, never to rise again. But the prophet's song fills their hearts and minds with a vision of God who is deeper and greater, a God beyond time and the universe, a prime mover and a sustainer, a God of majesty and power, way beyond the game of thrones and clash of empires in which their lives are trapped. This God is calling them. The prophet moves to the song's ending. He gives power to the faint and strength to the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and these youths will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with strength like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verses 29 to 31. Which way will we turn, I wonder, in this time and season, as we continue to walk through all of the confusion and pain around us? We need to recognize our own history. For every generation for the last 70 years, the tide of Christian faith has gone out a little further. Each generation has inherited fewer and fewer resources from our Christian heritage for coping with grief and pain and difficulty. It's come as a deep shock to some younger generations in this pandemic that things can go so badly wrong so quickly. As Christians, we too can be caught up in the spirit of the age. We can forget the strength and resilience in life which comes from our faith and ultimately from God. We need to be recalled and to hear these words ourselves. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The prophet says to us. Much of the society around us does not know what to do with pain and difficulty, even in normal times. We try and deaden our emotions to numb, to use Brené Brown's words. Here's the quotation again, in a slightly longer version.
This is the world we live in. We live in a vulnerable world. And one of the ways we deal with it is we numb vulnerability. And I think there's evidence, and it's not the only reason this evidence exists, but I think that it's a huge cause. We are the most in debt, obese, addicted, and medicated adult cohort in U.S. history. The problem is, and I learned this from the research, that you cannot selectively numb emotion. You can't say, here's the bad stuff. Here's vulnerability, here's grief, here's shame, here's fear, here's disappointment. I don't want to feel these. I'm going to have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin. I don't want to feel these. And I know that's knowing laughter. I hack into your lives for a living. I know that's, God. You can't numb those hard feelings without numbing the other affects or emotions. You cannot selectively numb. So when we numb those, we numb joy. We numb gratitude. We numb happiness. And then we are miserable and we are looking for purpose and meaning. And then we feel vulnerable. So then we have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin. And it becomes this dangerous cycle.
The prophet of Isaiah 40 encourages us not to numb, but to acknowledge pain and difficulty and suffering, and then still to open our hearts to God's love and healing and strength. In God's light and love, we are given the strength to face the pain and questions because of this greater and deeper reality and hope and love. This is what it means to wait on the Lord. This waiting is more than taking time to say our prayers, though time is certainly involved. It's time and space and courage to listen to the pain and difficulty within us and in the world around us, and to open that pain to God's grace and healing. In Isaiah 40, we are to open our hearts to the Lord, first through the beauty and majesty of the creation. The size and beauty and magnificence of the universe point us, if we will look, to the God of order and beauty and purpose. This world did not come about by chance or by accident. Our longing for something beyond ourselves, for love and meaning, will be the strangest product of random evolution, but makes absolute sense if, as Scripture tells us, we were made to acknowledge and to know our Maker. As Christians, we are called to ponder the mystery of God in the book of creation, to be recalled to our insignificance, but also to the wonder that God cares and loves us as individuals. But as Christians, we are also called to ponder the mystery of God as revealed in Scripture and most of all in Jesus, God's Son. Our prophet will thread references to the word of God through every song. The prophet will go on to sing of the servant of the Lord, who will come and show us more of God's nature and bring healing through his own suffering, as we will see. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Numbing is not the answer. But we need to take time and space and silence and retreat in order to find healing. Many of us find it hard to be still, to have an empty day or a couple of hours when we're not sure what to do. We are restless. And one of the reasons for our restlessness is that when we stop, when we allow space, all of the pain and tangled questions rise to the surface. Our society needs more space and time for this, not less. Carrying so much pain and turmoil within is exhausting. We need the courage to stop, to listen, to be ourselves, to sit for a while, and find those moments of renewal when we hear God speak. That can happen in our prayers, in our worship, in the silence of our empty churches, in the autumn sunshine. I went for a bike ride a couple of days ago down the canal path towards Oxford. By the side of the path, I passed a woman sitting cross-legged on the floor, her face turned towards the sun. I've no idea, of course, what was happening inside her, but it seemed to me that here was someone who was waiting on the Lord to renew her strength, who was recognizing all that was happening, who was seeking that grace and strength from God to rise up and rebuild. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.